Hey there, Story Miners. Welcome once again to the Memoir Club, where everyday memories become unforgettable stories. So grab your favorite drink, open up that notebook, and settle in. I'm your host, Wayne Jordan, and today we're digging into a memory that just might surprise you. So let's get started. In episode 2, we're dealing with a topic that affects everyone. What do you do when you just can't remember the details? For example, I was standing in the bedroom the other day holding a ceramic jar I've had since college. For 5 decades, I've used it as a bookend and tossed odds and ends into it without a second thought. But that day, I stared at it, trying to summon a memory. I knew there was a story in that jar somewhere. I got it from a college girlfriend who made it in her ceramics class, but I don't recall the circumstances. I don't remember her name. I don't remember how we met. I couldn't remember if we dated. Why did she give me the jar? The details, fuzzy, gone, just a ghost of a feeling. And I began to wonder, well, what do folks do when their memories aren't clear, when there's just a vague feeling but no full scene? This episode is for anyone who's stared at an old object or photo and thought, you know, I used to remember that story. Today we're going to talk about a way to deal with these memory gaps, whether you've got gaps in your childhood or entire years that feel like static. We'll talk about why that's normal and what you can do about it. We'll touch on how memories work, why they fade or get fuzzy. I'll share a trick to help you uncover what's still buried under the surface. Now, this isn't a deep dive into memory. There are future episodes on the topic, but today's telling will get you started. I'll also answer a listener's question about dealing with hazy childhood memories and end with a writing prompt that just might jog something loose. So, why do we have trouble remembering details of past events? Long-term memory is like a patchwork quilt you keep stitching and restitching over the years. You don't remember events the way that they happened. You remember the last time you remembered them. That's why a story you've told a dozen times keeps getting tighter or funnier or more dramatic. Every time you pull it out, you're shaping it just a little. And sometimes the parts that don't get retold start to fade. For example, you might remember the feeling of riding your bike down a hill, but not the name of the street. Or you know you went to summer camp, but the only thing you can remember is the mess hall and maybe just the smell of it. That's normal. Memory isn't permanent and doesn't stay fixed. It grows and changes and warps with you. And that's not a flaw, it's an opportunity, because memoir isn't about perfect recall. It's about emotional truth. What stuck with you? What changed the way you saw the world? That's the story worth writing. A few weeks ago, I was sorting through my memorabilia box, trying to make some sense of it, get it organized. And as I shuffled through the photos and certificates and souvenirs, I found a photo of me standing with a group of people in front of a restaurant. Now, I had no idea who these people were, or where the photo was taken, or what I was doing there. That's happened to you, right? I've traveled a lot, so this pic could have been taken anywhere. Why didn't I remember it? Clearly, the event was important enough that I wanted to document it with a photo. So, I took a different approach. I stopped trying to remember the event And instead, I started describing the photo, hoping it would trigger something. So picture this. I'm sitting on the sofa. It's middle of the afternoon on a Sunday, and the box is on the floor. And I'm sorting through it, and I've got stacks of memorabilia and papers on every possible surface. And as I looked at the picture, I noticed that I still had most of my hair, so I must have been in my 30s. And the clothing in the group seemed to support that guess. We looked like the cast of a disco movie, shirts with big pointed collars and flared pants and loud patterned jackets. There were no women in the group, so it wasn't a social affair. No suits and ties either, so it wasn't a business meeting. Now, the restaurant was a mom-and-pop type place with an Italian name, and the reflection in the glass showed a busy street, not a suburban parking lot. As I continued to look at the photo, then I remembered. It was a Piano Technicians Guild trip to the Steinway factory in New York City. Now, with that trigger, it all came back to me. The early morning drive from Delaware to New York, the thrill of watching Steinway pianos being built, the smell of lacquer and wood, and the sounds of saws and hammers and tuning. I even remembered what I ate for lunch in that restaurant. Ravioli with garlic bread and pellegrino. And I remember that because I had garlic breath for the rest of the afternoon. As I looked, I even remembered a few of the names. I picked out Tony and Larry and Vince and a couple of others, all from a single image. I'd forgotten all about that trip, but it was a great experience, and I loved reliving the memory. So here's the truth. Memory isn't a filing cabinet. It's more like a trail of breadcrumbs. You don't always get the whole story in one bite. You follow the crumbs. It's totally normal to forget things, especially childhood events. Our brains prioritize survival, not scrapbook-worthy detail. Add in trauma or stress or just time, and you've got memories that are buried, fragmented, or out of context. But those memories, they're still in there, hiding behind a smell or a song or a texture. Sometimes you don't need to recall the full event. You just need to recall how it felt. Emotion is often the key that unlocks the door. So here's the big idea for today. Don't chase perfect recall. Chase resonance. Instead of asking what happened, look for connections. Try asking, what did it feel like? What did it sound like or smell like? Start with something simple like the texture of a quilt or the sound of a screen door slamming or the look of your mother's handwriting or a photograph. Start small. Start soft. Start sensory. Well, the jaunty accordion music tells me it's time for Listener's Mailbox. So let's dig in and see what we've got. This week's question comes from Kevin in Toledo, who writes, Wayne, I can't remember much from my childhood, and I don't know what to do. There's just these big blank spots. Can I write a memoir if I can't remember everything? Well, let me reassure you right out of the gate. Yes, it's absolutely possible. Most people don't remember everything, not even close. Memoir is not about total recall. It's about emotional truth. So if your memories are patchy, here are five things you can try, Kevin. Use a sensory trigger. Smell a childhood shampoo or taste a snack you used to eat, like, I don't know, maybe a moon pie or some string licorice. Sometimes our bodies remember things before our brains do. Or try associative memory. If you can't remember the layout of your childhood home, then describe the walk from the bus stop to your house and allow your mind to wander into the house as you come through the door. or use other people's stories. Like talk to a sibling or a cousin. Often, their memories will light up your own. Just be okay with different versions because they're not going to remember it the same way you do. Memoir is about your perspective. It's not a documentary. Here's another one, Kevin. Start with emotion. Pick a feeling you remember vividly, like shame or pride or fear, and ask yourself, when was the first time I felt this way? When was the first time that I was really proud of myself or afraid of something or ashamed of something? And lastly, please, Kevin, don't try too hard. If you just can't remember, don't sweat it. Memories will come in their own time or not. Our most readily available memories are attached to strong emotions, joy or sorrow or pain. Memories might be blocked because they're too painful to remember, or maybe because the event wasn't very memorable to begin with. Either way, do the best you can and move on. Don't get stuck. And Kevin, here's one last thing. Writing helps remembering. Even if you start with fiction-like guesses, your brain will likely fill in the blank spots as you write. So don't wait for perfect recall. Just start one breadcrumb at a time. Here's your prompt this week. Describe the earliest time that you remember being afraid. Don't worry if you don't remember the full scene. Start with what you know, the time of day or who was with you or maybe what you were wearing or what the air smelled like. Let your pen fill in the rest. You might be surprised by what shows up. And if you're stuck, try writing as if you're talking to a friend over coffee. No pressure to get it perfect. Just open the door and let the story step forward. Well, that's it for this week's episode of the Memoir Club podcast. I'm Wayne Jordan. Thanks for spending this time with me. If today's story got you thinking about your own story, I hope you'll visit us at memoirclub.net. That's where you'll find the companion materials for this episode, including a writing prompt, a sample story, and a worksheet to help you dive a little deeper. And while you're there, take a second to sign up for the newsletter if you haven't already. And if you liked what you heard, I'd love for you to follow the show and maybe even tell a friend who's got their own stories to tell. Until next time, keep writing, keep remembering, and keep those stories rolling.